Good, are you ready? Anyone else ready? I haven't shared for a while, actually. Various things going on and so on. But I've been really looking forward to sharing this. I really believe at this season in our lives, when I was croaking around at home, I really felt the Holy Spirit speak of new beginnings, a season of new beginnings. And I believe that God is calling us to himself in new ways. In fact, this morning, some of the things I was preaching on kept coming up in all the worship songs that I was I had on this morning as I was just getting ready. And so let's pray. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, even among the shaking of the nations and all of the challenges that our nation faces at this time, you are calling us to yourself. Lord, even the challenges we face personally in these turbulent days, I pray today that your people will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and that we would draw near to you. Amen. Why don't you just declare that title over your life? I'm going to draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot of, you know, God is doing all sorts of things, moving in all sorts of places. And it's great to hear that one of the England players, Arsenal players, Saka, takes his Bible with him and prays every morning. It's amazing to hear that the Arsenal manager declaring, you know, that we don't know when Jesus will return. Apparently, it just happens, though, that Jesus is one of the players. I read the headline and thought, wow, God must be really moving. I mean, even the football managers are preaching these days, but we know it's getting close, though, don't we, Nigel? And yeah, and after his rant last week, I think he needs to have faith in Jesus. But yeah, that, I just thought you might enjoy that. It's a time to draw near to God. Sometimes when you've been a Christian, I mean, I won't point at anyone, for a long time, you get into autopilot. You know how to pray, you know how to read the Bible, and you do the things Christians are meant to do, but there's not that freshness of God's presence. And there's not that closeness. And that's why, while I was had COVID and was really, really struggling physically, it was like waking up in the jar of treacle. You know, every time you move your legs, it took much more effort. But God began to speak to me. I want to do something new. And I want you to draw near to me. Because the promise of God is he will draw near to you. And I look back at seasons in the past where just before God broke in a new way and did something completely out of the box, they were seasons of just humbling myself before God. And many of my friends, we would just seek him together. And sometimes we got to that point, I remember in the early 90s, where we were all so tired. Anyone relate to that? And we said, Lord, we've done everything we know to do, but it's still not happening. And we humbled ourselves. And God broke in a way that is unparalleled in my life, there was such a sense of the presence of God. People would go onto tube trains and start praying for people. Hallelujah. Talk about a captive audience. Hallelujah. I mean, Carrie was in a church in Singapore, and they invited everyone to come on a boat trip. And they'd go out, right out into the harbor where you couldn't get off, you couldn't swim back. And they'd give them a meal, and then they'd start preaching the gospel. So you either could drown or listen. Now, it's not quite how we do it here. But God began to break in. And it says this, cleanse your hearts, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Sorry, cleanse your hands, you double-minded. When we sin, we're double-minded. You know, we know sin is bad. We know it's bad for us. We know it's bad for the people around us. We know, and it's like we're giving up. We're giving ground. God wants you to be single-minded. Amen? Say no to ungodliness. Say no to whatever it is that is gripping you. Because God wants to draw near to you. Amen. He wants you to allow him to break into the areas of your heart where he hasn't broken in before. He wants you to open the door to every room of your life, not just the Sunday morning, but the Monday morning. Amen. I read an article recently called The Revival That No One Wanted. And I thought, well, what's this? We all want revival. And it listed, and these are all public knowledge, different ministries in this country, but also the other side of the big pond, where things have been come to the surface, where another investigation is going on. And the conclusion of this author was, is, you know, before Jesus was revealed to Israel, he sent John the Baptist to get the people ready. But everything came to the light. And you see, one of the things that's happening, and please don't be shaken up, some really good people, really big ministries, and God is bringing things to the surface. And he's bringing them to the surface so they get dealt with, so that we can move on to a new move of God. Amen? So please don't be discouraged. Amen? We see what our state church is doing and what they are saying, which I would view as way beyond the boundaries of what the Bible teaches. And we can be discouraged. We need to pray. I've got friends who are standing for righteousness in situations where their bishops are saying, if you don't agree with me, you have to come and talk to me. But God is getting us ready. Do you know one of the hardest verses, I didn't actually plan on sharing this, is in Luke's gospel. It talks about the people that received the baptism of John. That is the people received Jesus gladly. In other words, they prepared their hearts. They had obeyed that time of preparation. They had done what John had said. And so when Jesus was revealed, they recognized him. And then it says of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the wouldn't sees and don't want to see, it says they refused the baptism of John. And so it actually says this, they rejected God's will for themselves, and they didn't recognize Jesus. Let God work in your heart. He wants you to be ready. You know, church history is kind of sad because the last group that God really used is often the one that resists the next thing that God does. And that's why we have denominations. The Methodists, fiery preachers. And then there was a young man called William Booth. And then they stopped preaching outside the church buildings. They thought it was unrefined. But there was a young man called William Booth. And he was gifted to preach on the streets. And they said, no, we don't do that anymore. So he had to find the Salvation Army. I'm not undermining other people because people are free to do what they want in different groups now. And then William Booth founded the Salvation Army. And within the Salvation Army, there was a young man called Smith Wigglesworth. And he was a firebred. But then one day he went to a conference in Sunderland and he began to speak in tongues and heal the sick. And they said, oh, we don't do that. So he became a Pentecostal, or some people call him Pestecostal. And I have to also say this. There's a time in the 1960s and 70s, and God started moving in the historic denominations. Hallelujah. Nuns would show up speaking in tongues. And some Pentecostals said, this can't be God. I mean, how can God get a nun speaking in tongues? We've got to be sensitive to what God is doing. And I don't want to miss anything. Amen? And if the guy preaching has got tattoos, and you know, some people are like, God can't use that one though. Well, you watch out who God's going to use. I was just watching the Jesus revival. And people in the Jesus revival, they've been saved 2 weeks. And they were seeing signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Well, God can't use them. Well, you better be careful telling God who he can use. Because he's going to do something in your life. He's going to show up through someone you least expect. Amen? So get yourself ready. Here's another promise. You will seek me and what? Find me. When you what? When you show up just occasionally on time on Sunday? No, it doesn't say that. Oh, sorry, did I just... Someone's influencing me. Sorry, I'm not looking. I'm looking at the ceiling. Ben's here, but I'll leave him alone today. When you wholeheartedly look for him, you're going to find him. See, I don't want to be an old wineskin stuck in the past. When you find yourself talking about things in the past all the time and Jesus isn't alive in the present, you need to seek him afresh. Amen. Because he's the same yesterday and this Sunday morning. Amen. It says in Haggai, all nations will be shaken. And sometimes it's overwhelming. You know, the last thing you needed after COVID was another war in Europe. And then someone decides, yeah, it's gone a bit nuts, decides to invade another country. We see the suffering of thousands of people. And then just when you thought a war in Europe was getting a bit overwhelming, there's an inflation crisis, a heating crisis. And then the Middle East kicks off. All nations will be shaken. Sorry about that. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But the good news is this. In you is a kingdom that will never be shaken. Hallelujah. Some people say, oh, aren't you getting frightened, Phil? I've got friends in Syria who've seen Christians crucified, maimed, tortured, killed. We have no idea. But they died in faith. And they died just knowing the presence of God in incredible ways, the testimonies of angelic visitation. Amen? He's going to shake everything. Someone said, oh, it's got to get better soon. Don't know about that. But what I do know, I believe God is getting the attention of his people, and he's getting attention of people out there. It says that everything's going to be shaken, but they will come to the desire of all nations. That's Jesus. The greatest revivals often came in the greatest crisis. The 1930s, well, when George Jeffries would fill the biggest auditoriums, was a time of the Great Depression, where you were lucky if you earned £1 a day. And people walked starving from Jarrow down to London to show their plight. I believe God is getting our attention. We meet people in the food bank and the warm space, and they say things like, I never thought this could happen. I've worked every day of my life of the working age, and now I can't work, and now I'm in a food bank. Everything's getting shaken, and he's trying to get your attention, you know, so that you will seek him with all your heart. Because let me tell you this, as we get closer and closer, it's not going to be business as usual. You're going to have an exciting life. Hallelujah. When I grew up, I was a little local boy in a village on the outskirts of High Wycombe. And I just wanted to be a little local Christian. And God started saying, you're going to the nations. And I just thought, I can't comprehend that. But it happened. And now the nations come to me. Hello, come to us. Hallelujah. We've got a great, great spread of nations. I think the last count was 22 we've got in this church. And we're going to go for 30. And then 100. Hallelujah. Amen. One theologian said this. It's only when we slow down our lives that we catch up to God. Wow, isn't that interesting? Some of us are like headless chickens. I've never met a headless chicken, but I think they run around a lot and make a lot of mess. Do you know, a few years back, I was on the missions board, I was on the regional team, I was on head of trustee of this ministry. I was a school governor, and I realized I had lost something in the busyness. I know a guy who headed up a massive national ministry across this nation, and he said this. This ministry became like a monster that I had to keep feeding. It took up all my time. Every hour of my working day, I was here, there, and everywhere. And I realized in it all, I'd lost the presence of Jesus in my life. And God said to me, simplify your life. And I wrote, I'm so sorry, I can't do that anymore. I can't be a school governor. I can't be on this board. I can't be a trustee. And I got back to Jesus in a special way. If you're so scattered that you've lost your first love, what's more important? What really matters when you stand before Jesus? And someone said, well, if you resign from all those things, you'll never make it in our denomination. Well, I'm not interested in making anything if my relationship with Jesus isn't red hot and I'm abiding and connected to him. I remember one time we were in a restaurant, I think it was abroad, and there was a language barrier. And they brought out the food, but it wasn't what we ordered. In fact, it was horrible. I was like, no, this is not what I ordered. And they said, okay, we'll get you what we thought we misunderstood, but you can have it anyway. I said, I don't even want it. I believe on that last day there will be people coming to Jesus. Look what I did! I didn't order that. I had a destiny for you, but you were not in touch enough with me to hear what I was saying. And you ran off and you brought all this food that I didn't order. Make sure you bring to Jesus what he ordered and what he wants you to do. He has a destiny in your life. Hallelujah. You may say, I'm right at the end of the race. Well, there's still more to run. Hallelujah. Make every day as a gift from God. I realize that recently I've stepped into the second half of the match. I'm not sure where I'm going exactly in terms of which part of the half I'm in. I know some of us are in injury time. Some of us are coming to penalties. But listen, every day is a gift from God. Use it. When you go in that office, you're a gift. There's a people you can pray for. You can bless the place where you work. Intercede for the boss you have. You know, be a blessing. Share your faith when the opportunity arises. Amen. Nigel might know something about this. When the axe is dull, one does not sharpen the edge, and one does not sharpen it. He must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Sometimes our axe can get dull, and we wonder, why is it not happening? Why is the breakthrough not coming? Why this? Why that? You need to go and get sharpened up by Jesus. Amen. And you'll get that tree down in no time. You know, I remember one time is we had a building crisis, and we had to get legal people, charity law people, and they were great blessing. They did it pro bono and all that stuff. They were such a blessing to us. And yet the decision on our building, they still wanted us out of that building. And God just said, Phil, just worship me. And we had a meeting. There was a council meeting. And I thought, what do I do? Do I? He said, don't go to the meeting. Just worship me. And he said, I just felt in my spirit, this is my battle. So I went off and worshipped. Walking along the River Thames. Thankfully, I didn't walk off the side of the park. I was getting a bit lost up. And then I got home, and they said all the council, local council members are supporting. They're doing a statement to honor the work of the church in their community and to support us. And then God gave that building, and the church still has that building. Hallelujah. You see, I could have gone around having meetings with big people, important people, advisors. God just said, just worship me on this one now. You've done what you've done. I will fight on your behalf. Amen? As you get your axe sharp, God will break through. Wesley says, I'm too busy not to pray. We need to hear God's preceding word. That's why we're been doing this lecture course. Have you been blessed in the course? I have such good reports. You know, we storm read the Bible and then we think at the end of it all, did God speak to us? You take down, you slow down, read, reread, pray, contemplate, meditate, receive. I just want to highlight this. Man shall not live by bread alone. Physical food is not enough. You can be born again, a Christian, but you're not really living. Hello? Someone said to me the other day, I haven't really heard God speak to me for a number of years. I remember even John Wimber was open towards the end of his life. He says, I haven't heard God speak to me for a long, long time. But by every word, and that word is rhema. That means the proceeding word from the mouth of God. You know, some people, we do our Bible readings. Blah, blah, blah. Lord's my shepherd. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know all that. And I learned that about 20 years ago. Up there we are. Close the book. Boom. We need to slow down. Because there is a preceding word. If God says we're not really living without that preceding word, that means he's speaking a preceding word. Amen? He wants to speak to all of us. The Bible, it says, is the living and active. His word is living and active. It's not just a book. It's just not something just to study your theology on. It is living. And when you hear the living word, it brings life. Okay. Faith comes. Think about that. Faith comes when you hear what God is saying. Are you hearing? You know, Jesus said to the churches in Revelation, he who has what? Ears, let him. He's crying out to us today in our busy world. You know, our ancestors, let's just say they worked on a farm. They didn't have to watch EastEnders. Hallelujah. God bless them. They didn't have mobile phones. I managed to teach my mum how to... I was trying to explain what the internet was to her. She had no idea. It was just like, what? A Wi-Fi? What? They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have music unless they made it themselves. They knew how to quieten down. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the rhema. That's what that word is. You look it up. Don't take my word for it. The preceding word of God. I can tell you the times in my life where the Logos, the full scripture, becomes a rhema. How many people here had a Bible verse jump out at you when you read it? We've all had that. Amen. That's when the Logos becomes the preceding word. But you know, you're going to miss it if you don't give him time. Faith will come by hearing. And hearing. There's no comma in the Greek, by the way. Hearing by the preceding word of God. And Jesus is speaking to all of us through his word. Sometimes it will be a prophetic word. I remember one time the Lord just, I was really, really struggling. And God said, I'm going to sort all of this out. Just trust in me. Just love me. Just worship me. And watch what I do. And he did it. Hallelujah. Oh, yum, yum, yum. Ha. What does God's voice sound like? Some people say, well, what does it sound like? And I'm just going to shoot off a few scriptures and then we're going to close. You know, often we want the spectacular. You know, the great Elijah, the Lord passed by and there's a big wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in it. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. Sometimes we want the spectacular. Sometimes, you know, I remember meeting, hearing about one minister, and he went to lots of church growth conferences. A church growth conference is where someone who got a breakthrough because they got on their knees and got hold of God tells you how that breakthrough came. But you know what? God does not want you or this church to be a copy of someone else. God only has originals. And so this guy was going and learning how to get his church to grow, but his church wasn't growing. And someone said, have you tried praying? And he said, no, I'm too busy to do that. That's a true story. You got to get on your face before God. Some people depend on other Christians to hear God for them. And God will use other Christians, but usually it's to confirm what God is already doing in your heart. You've got to get plugged into him. Because there's this spectacular, every time, you know, in the charismatic world, there's a new this and a new that and a new, and often these emphases are from the Lord, but some people take them to extremes. But you've got to hear it for yourself. And you've got to hear God for your family and your calling and make sure that the Lord you serve has actually ordered what you're doing. Amen. But afterwards, God really came in that still, small voice. I remember a well-known prophetic ministry had loads of spectacular things happen in their life. Angelic visitations, all that kind of stuff. And they said, how does God speak to you? And he said, 98% of the time, it's the still, small voice. Amen. And you're only going to hear that small voice, if you give him time. I can't do it for you. No one can do it for you. Everyone's looking to someone. You need to look to Jesus because he's waiting for you. I shared before, I think, God spoke to me once and I was praying for these meetings I was due to be at. And the Holy Spirit spoke that still small voice. And he said, Phil, right now, I just want you. You're my son. I want to talk to you. I'm your dad. He said, forget about the meetings. I'm going to bless them. But can you just stop, just put all that aside? You see, because when you're a church leader, you know, you got to get a breakthrough. You got to get the new revelation. You got to, you know, hear what God's saying. And he said, I want to talk to you, not as a church leader, but as a father talking to a son. And when you connect with God like that, the meetings will just run themselves. And the meetings went great. And I stopped praying about the meetings. I just met with God. They say of Catherine Coleman, she would just spend her afternoons having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So when she walked into the meeting, the glory was just there. When she walked, you know, when she walked through the airports and the power of God would hit people in the airports. They actually had to take her through a subway onto the plane. It was causing so much chaos. Smith Wigglesworth would get on the train to Cardiff. And by the end of the journey, by the time they got to near the Severn Tunnel, someone had turned around and said, you convict me of sin. He'd led him to the Lord, and the whole carriage was singing revival hymns. When you carry the presence of God like that, when it says in Acts, they took note that they had been with Jesus. Amen. Whoa. Oh, that's getting very quiet. That's why we're doing this course. We've done this course. Well, my group still haven't quite done it, but we're getting there. Meditate, read, contemplate. Spend time. What are you saying to me through this scripture? Amen. Right, I'm going to go fast track now. What does God's voice do? The entrance of your words bring light, gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Amen. Thank God it gives understanding to the simple, because I wouldn't understand it if it... Areas of hopelessness in your life suddenly come into the light. Have you ever had that where God spoke to you and you're feeling so like I've given up on that area? When God speaks into that area, it's like, wow! You know, I thought I'd never get married. I was working in this church and I was so busy, I didn't have time. I was in going to the nation and I didn't know what to do. And I was crying out, God, how can I do it? Because anyone I ask for a coffee thinks I've got engaged to them. And then I had a PA lady, lovely Zimbabwean lady. Hallelujah. Shema Halawi, got Zimbabwean. This letter came in from Singapore. And she said, Phil, you need to see this one. And the rest is history. Hallelujah. God answered my prayer. And I just had that expectation. And before Caroline left the building, two other pastors said, who was that was with you? Have you got a number? Yes, I have, but you're not getting it. Have you ever had God speak into a situation where you were totally confused and suddenly it was like, I get it now. The entrance of his word brings light. He brings conviction when we're out of sync with God. Amen. Jesus said, my words are what? They are spirit and they are what? Life. When we first came to Newbury, I was at a conference in Dudley. And this guy from South Africa, who lived in America, he talked about, he said, there's two buildings, there's two houses, your house and God's house. He described things that we had been discussing, the exact words about what God was going to do. And then he described about our house and all those things have happened. And he described discussions Caroline and I had about the house. Do you know, That was such a powerful word. It just brought life. I came back like, we're going to do it. And little did he know, we'd already put the offer in the house and we were about to sign contracts. And it came through. The entrance of his word brings life, amen, to your spirit. How many people have been in the meeting and met with someone and they spoke some word of encouragement and you prayed with them and you left 10 feet tall? Anyone? You know what I mean. Amen? And God wants to speak life through his written word and through one another. Amen. Oh, this is what we're struggling to do. And I have to say, God is getting me to, through this slow down and give him time to speak his words of life. This is what many of us need to do. Give attention to my words. I've been to visit people and they said, I'm having my quiet time. The TV's on, there's music on, there's the radio on. I said, it's not very quiet, is it? Give attention to my words. Turn it all off. Amen. I have to say that to Carrie, but Silas might ring. Well, he can wait to find, while we pray. Turn it off. Turn the TV off. You know, God called me once. I said, no more TV for a year and a half. Oh, but now I can watch TV and there's some good things. There's some bad things. But you don't have to watch them. Give attention. Give time. Don't be so busy. I think it's Proverbs that says your words are purified. They're like silver and gold. What is needed in this day? You know, we've seen movements where everyone's saying this person's going to be the president and he wasn't the president. And they all copied each other. Someone said he was and then everyone else joined in. They weren't really hearing from God. Some of them were my friends and they repented, thankfully. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And if you did the course, you know about HMV, his master's voice, and the doggy is lifting his little, when I talk to Milo, sometimes he leans his ear forward. Some of us, we need to lean our ear and give him time as we read those scriptures, go through them, meditate, let him speak, let it go in. Lean into him. Just think of that doggy. Let them not depart from your eyes, for their life to those who find it. Let it go into your heart. Let it go into your imagination. Often when God speaks to me, I say, what does that look like? I remember when I was reading that scripture, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And then I said, Lord, show me what that looks like. And I just saw myself in heavenly places, drenched in the blessings of God. Amen. You know, the enemy wants to put imagination. We're bombarded with bad things in the media. Someone said, I'm having all these nightmares, war nightmares. And I say, well, what do you do last thing at night? Watch war movies. Well, come on. Watch something different before you go to bed. Or pray or do something else. For his words are what? What do? They bring life to those who find them. And what happens? Health to all their flesh. I've had times too sick to get off the sofa, but I've got these guys just reading scripture on some different tracks and stuff, and as those words soak over my life, I can feel health coming back to my body. I think I need to do it again, anyway. Health to what? All their flesh. We'll do more next time. When Jesus spoke to them on the Emmaus Road, they didn't go, well, that was a bit boring Bible study. What did they do? They said, did our heart not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures? You know, Wesley, in a little chapel in North London, he'd been a missionary and failed. Did you know that? He came back and he was in a meeting, a Moravian meeting, and he heard Romans being read, justification by faith. And he said this, my heart was strangely warmed. Do you know how I became a Christian? I got really ill and I thought, I'm going to read the Gospels. And Jesus, if you're true, come alive. And as I read about Jesus, my heart was burning with the love of God. And I gave my life to him. Recognize when God is speaking to you. Recognize what he is doing. I can't do all this today, but let me tell you this. I'll land it around here somewhere. When Jacob was going back to his brother Esau and he thought he was going to be killed, he had a crisis. And he was still trying to manipulate the situation, sent on all these his flocks as gifts to his brother to try and appease him. And he sent on his wives, and it says this, and Jacob was left alone with God. Jacob was wanting, Lord, get me out of this crisis. Get me out of this terrible situation. But let me tell you this, more important than getting you out of the crisis is allowing God to do his work in you. God wanted more than to get Jacob out of a crisis. The angel, capital A if you have a King James Bible, of the Lord came and wrestled with him. At the end of that wrestling, as the dawn was coming, Jacob said, will you bless me? He knew he was having an encounter. And this angel, I believe it was a theophany, a type of Jesus coming. That's why it's capital A in the King James. But I can't prove it, so don't you know. And he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, the usurper. It's going to be Israel. A prince with God. And you see, God will use your trials. Sometimes though, if you never have a trial, Vernon, would you have such a deep prayer life? Would you? Trials will come. I wish they wouldn't. But as Keith Green said this, our trials are turned to gold. Count it all joy. No one has still rung me after all these years and said, I'm so excited. I've got this trial. Oh, I can't wait to see what God does in this time. Count it what? Oh, joy. Don't make me say that. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, because you know this, God is going to work it together for your good. The testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. Steadfastness will have its full effect that you may be perfect. And I don't believe that's sinless. I mean, you're going to be ready and perfectly ready for what God is going to do in your life next. Complete and what? Lacking nothing. He will turn your trials into gold. He works it around for your good. Joseph's trials turned to gold
and he became the deliverer that saved the nation of Egypt and saved the nation of Israel. Amen. I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're wondering, man, things are shaky out there. And maybe you're saying things are shaky in here. I'm having some real testing times. Someone told me recently how they was large amount of money was stolen from them. There were trials, but count it all joy, because God is gonna work it for good. And before he gets you out of that trial, he's gonna work in you so that you are ready for everything that he has for you. Shall we stand? Claude, you can come back, and then we're going to... Let's just pray. Just talk to him right now. Just lock in with him. Draw near to me, and I will, not might, not could, but I will draw near to you, each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our shepherd, Lord, and that, Lord, that no temptation is coming our way except that which you have a way of escape. Thank you, Jesus, that you are working in us. Lord, and I just say thank you, Lord, even in the trials, we can rejoice because you are working all things together for our good. And I just bless this congregation, Lord. Lord, may we have encounters with you. May we, like Jacob, be transformed from one thing to the new thing that you are doing in our lives. Lord, may we hear the still small voice. Teach us, Lord, to give attention to your word, to lean into you, Lord, to let our imaginations be filled with the truth of proceeding words from you. We want to live by every word that proceeds from you to us. Lord, let the Bible become a living and active word in our life. Speak to us in the small hours. Speak to us, Lord, as we go about our business. Lord, and I just pray that we will connect with you, abide in you. Because apart from you, we ain't going to do nothing. But when we abide in you, we will bear much fruit. So do a new work in us, in Jesus' name. Just say to someone, you're going to bear much fruit. Hallelujah.